It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Again, this is just kind of a review of what we've already studied, but it was just so great that I hated to move on, and I hope that you don't think this is too much repetition, because I'm sure enjoying the study again, even though it was just a year ago, a little over a year ago, when we were studying this area. But it just is so good to kind of remind us of the great things. And I've tried to pick out some of the primary areas there. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's our website. Many good studies there that we have made from the pulpit, the preaching service, and also the studies that we've done on the radio are there, and then as well as our Constitution and the plan of salvation. And so please that you take a look, and I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you grow from it. Come to know the Lord Jesus through it. Just enjoy it, please. And then if you'd like to email us, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Beginning to read with the 9th verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We're going to stop with that 17th verse today and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can enjoy this precious time together. It's such a joy to open your precious word and just walk verse by verse, word by word, and as a born-again believer, as being saved, I have the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, to teach me these precious words. Father, you have given us the church, the fellowship we have together with each other, searching your word, coming in unity because of your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the joy of walking each day with you. And just please bring those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that have been maybe so faithful in going to church all the time, but they do not realize that there is this opportunity of a personal relationship that they can have with you if they just believe not only in the head, in the mind, but also in the heart. They become a child of God. Let the Spirit speak to your hearts today, Father. Let them come and get to know you and walk with you each day. It's such a joyful day, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture kind of starts with that. If but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And in the opening prayer there, in asking the Lord to convict your heart, to show you who you are, and I don't mean that in a mean and nasty way, but we gotta straighten things up. And in order to straighten things up, we have to look at the evidence. We have to look at who we are and what we are. And when we truly do that through the eyes of God, and the only way we can do that is to have the Spirit to do it. The only way we can have the Spirit to do it is to open His Word and read His Word. And the Word of God then shows you by the means of the Spirit. It's very clear, it's very simple, that we're just a lost sinner and we need salvation. We need to be saved. We're lost. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We have no hope. And when you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and the step is that the Spirit will show you who you are. And once you recognize that I'm this ugly person, someone that is totally separated from God, and yet God loved me so much that He sent His Son to buy me back. And He's done that. He has purchased you with His life through death and with His precious blood. He saved you. You just need to come by faith to Him and be saved. Now that comes through the Spirit, not through something that your mind has drummed up. It is the conviction of the Spirit, and you will experience that if you go to the Word of God, and you'll get to that place. I got to that place. It was all the way back in 1975 when I recognized it. Been in church all my life, and yet through the Word, I found that I was lost and I needed salvation. And it's such a joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the Holy Spirit in my heart right now. And now I can go to the Word of God. And yes, it convicts me of sin. It shows me if I'm not in fellowship. But I know that I'm kept by Him. Salvation is something that you possess, you have. And once you come by faith to Jesus, you will forever have it. And what a joy to walk each day with the Lord Jesus and just enjoying that time. It's such a joy. And we need to understand and call upon the Lord Jesus for our Lord and Savior. Please do that today. You know, we go through this every time we're together, and I'll continue to do it because there is nothing more important than you knowing the Lord Jesus. Because if you don't, then this doesn't make any sense to you in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. Well, you say, yes, I am. I'm still in the flesh. Well, when you're born again, now you have moved. Yes, you have the old flesh to contend with, but now you have the Holy Spirit, and so that's what it's talking about, but in the Spirit. You're born again. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, it's just what I'm talking about. Jesus, ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So if you're not born again, I don't care how many times you went to church, how many times you have confessed your sin to some man through confession. It doesn't matter. What matters is your relationship with Jesus. And you need to know Him, and the only way you can know Him is through the Spirit. And so, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, once you're born again, it makes all kinds of sense. I understand that completely. My heart, because of being a child of God, wants to do what's right, wants to do what pleases God. Now, my old flesh, it's still the old flesh. It still desires fleshly things. But for the first time, I have a power to have victory over that. And so as we enjoy this and we look through these verses of Scripture here, we need to understand that believers have life, the life of Christ. His righteousness is given to every believer. Righteousness includes justification and sanctification. Justification is just if I've never sinned. Sanctification is to be made perfect. Now, that's never going to completely take place by any means because we still have the old flesh. But the Spirit gives us the power and the direction to do that. You know, pure grace is Christ in you. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God's grace brought down to man. And we have that and have looked at that in John 1:14. But I think it's of value to go back to there. We've looked there many times. But it's such an important verse of Scripture to help us understand. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now, if you'll come down to 14, that just closes that. "The Word was made flesh." Now, go back to verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of God, has always been as God, as the Spirit as well. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What a beautiful verse of Scripture. And so we need to understand that it is Christ that is our opportunity of grace. And it's brought down to us through the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only time that we can really enjoy, and we're going to look up a couple of verses of Scripture here, Paul was dead, yet he was speaking. And let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. I'm turning to the place myself. I hope that gives you enough time as well. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So once again, we have that simple explanation of what takes place when you're born again. Now let's come down to Colossians chapter 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I hope, again, that you know your books of the Bible, and it's a joy to be able to find the things quickly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You see, when Jesus died for me and all my sins, I literally, I spiritually died. He has taken all my sin away, and my life has become His life because I was dead, and He's given me life. So who's my life in? My life is in Christ, because I was dead without Him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now, you are dead as well. He said, "Oh, I'm living, I'm having all kinds of fun and everything." You've never lived until the day that you meet Jesus. That day is a day of joy and excitement. That day, you can't match it to anything else. Because that's the day you're truly born. You've been reunited with your God, your Creator, the one that created all the world, that created Adam and Eve. Now, once for the first time, you're back together. And until that takes place, you're not. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what happens the day we trust in Jesus. This only takes place when Christ is in you. Go back once again. We should be close by here to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Please just come by faith of the Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, and the hope of glory. See, first it was given to the Jews, to Israel, and then it was handed, it was given to the Gentiles, because the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus. Now, there are individual Israelites or individual Jews that are born again, are saved, but the only individually, and the nation as a whole, has rejected this great Savior. Now, the very same Savior will come, and he will come a second time, and he'll plant his feet upon this earth, and then they'll believe. But to many, it's going to be too late, and to all those that have died in the past, all have died and went to hell because they've rejected, as anyone else, Jew or Gentile alike. Back to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you understand what that means? The power that raised up Jesus, that raised up Christ. And notice as we look at this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Notice the name change. Jesus. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead. Now Jesus, the man who died on the cross, Christ, whom God raised from the dead, is the head, the leader, quickened to make to live, to make alive. That's what's going to happen to our old bodies. Now, we talked about we're still in the flesh. That's one joy of death, physical death, for a believer, only. For a lost person, for you to die without Jesus, you could be so religious, you could do so many things for folks, and yet you have missed that free gift of salvation, getting yourself back in unity with your God, back in fellowship with your God. You must do that. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus was the man, and Christ is the head. He's the power. And that's the reason for the change of names there. And it says, to quicken. That's a wonderful statement. Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And so we will receive a glorified body. As the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, so will our bodies be also raised from the dead. What a precious, precious promise we have. You know, Christians, like sinners, grow sick and die. And this will soon, you know, go on until the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And we have that in 8:23. So if we move forward just a little bit there, it's just on the other side of my page. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Christians, non-Christians, both grow sick, both die. But there lies the difference. Because a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will have this opportunity of redemption of the body. And it's not just an opportunity, well, we might take it, we might not. It will come. It is certain. The body will be raised out of that grave. You'll receive a glorified body. He said, I just can't believe all this. Would you just search the precious scripture? Will you begin and read in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus come and said, you must be born again? We just have such wonderful verses of scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us who we are. 6:23 tells us what we are and what we can have. Romans 10, 9 through 13, really 8 through 13, is just a beautiful verses of scripture concerning what we need to do, call upon the Lord Jesus for our Savior, to be our Savior. Please, it is a wonderful opportunity we have not only to receive salvation for our soul, but we also have the opportunity to have the redemption of the body. This speaks of the future resurrection of the believer's body. Our Lord was raised from the dead, and he was raised from the dead physically. Physically. The bodies of the dead saints will be quickened or raised from the dead at the rapture of the church. And let me just give you a little time schedule here. This is the church age right now. And it started back at Pentecost when Peter stood up and proclaimed that precious gospel. And when that age began, the nation of Israel was set aside. And we are still in that church age, been over 2,000 years now. And there'll be a time when God's going to call his saints home. And his saints are saints not because of what they have done by their own hands, but by what they have done by their heart, by calling upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. Then hopefully after that there'll be service, so we will have something to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus when we get there to praise him and honor him. But at the end of the church age, there's going to be an event take place. Every born-again believer will be caught up. Those that have died, they will be taken out of the grave, receive their glorified bodies, and those of us, if it would happen during my lifetime, those of us that are alive, then we will be caught up in the air. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. I'll receive my glorified bodies just as the same that Jesus received when he was raised from the dead. Victory, victory. When Jesus' body, his dead body, was laid in that tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, when he was laid in that tomb, he went, as he told the thief on the cross, the one that repented, the one that was saved. One of them said, he had nothing to do with it. He just ridiculed and criticized the Lord Jesus. And the other one says, you know, what's going on here is that we deserve what we get, but he doesn't. And then there were some words about remember me. And Jesus told him, I'll be with you today in paradise. There was a place where all believers went. All saints, all born-again believers went before Jesus finished the work on the cross. And so you see, as that thief died, until Jesus died and rose again 3 days later, could anyone go immediately into his presence at his home in heaven? Prior to that time, there was a place, and we call it paradise, Abraham's bosom, but that's where those that died in Christ went. And he told that thief on the cross, today I'm going to see you there. And so, you see, we know that the body of Jesus laid in that tomb. But Jesus, as a spirit, went down into paradise to be with all those that were saved. And, of course, the Lord Jesus, being God, could go from there back to his Father in heaven, back to paradise, and then that third day came. That third day, and then he received his glorified body, came out of that grave. What a wonderful picture we have of each of us, that what we can have and possess. What a wonderful day. I hope that you know all about the rapture, and after the rapture then comes the tribulation. You don't want to be here during the tribulation. You don't want to die without Jesus. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And see, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about life, enjoying life. And when you begin to walk and fellowship with the Lord Jesus, you'll desire to please him. And you'll find by pleasing him, you're going to have one of the greatest, greatest times in your life. You thought you were happy before. Well, you wait till you meet Jesus. And when you wake up every morning, you just praise the Lord for the victory he has given you, the life, the wisdom, the strength, everything that is given to us as believers, as we walk and serve him. And so we need to, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds, remember, we're born again. We are born again. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart through the Holy Spirit. And now we're ready to walk each and every day. But we still got that old flesh. Well, now we got the power to have victory over that. And that's a glorious thing. That's a wonderful thing to have that. Sold under sin, as we look to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We have the joy of the Spirit in our hearts, but we still have that old flesh. But now that we have been set free from that master, that old devil, and become servants to righteousness, we owe nothing to the flesh. Do you understand that? Before, we owed everything to the flesh, and that's the only thing that old devil can play with. And he can continue to disrupt your life if you surrender to it. But we are free from that burden, from that master. Now you say, well, I don't want to be a servant to anybody. Well, you are. You're a servant to the devil right now. And I'm going to make it a little clearer than that. You're not a servant. You're a slave. a slave to someone that wants to destroy you. Please be a servant of God. Call upon Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?